The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
What is going on, party people? Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. It is Tuesday, February 27th, and we've got a jam-packed show for you guys this evening. We got to talk about the highly anticipated match number 9. We're going to put a bow on that. We got to talk about some live boys. Some play, some quotes, everything in between there. And of course, the artist formerly known as the Honda Classic, the Cognizant Classic, shout out to them. But before we get into that, let me bring in three esteemed gentlemen. I'll kick it off with Mr. Mark Immelman, who will be on the call for PGA Tour Live this week. Mark, what is going on with you?
What's up, Patrick? How long have you practiced that intro? That was top quality, my friend. Nice job.
Stop it. I appreciate it.
You can only go downhill from that intro.
And it will. Next, I'd like to bring in, I guess, to my right, Mr. Kyle Porter. KP, what's up?
Not much. I woke up to some incredible quotes from one of the great takesmiths of our time and haven't stopped thinking about him all day. So I'm sure we'll get into it.
We'll get into those. And no, those weren't from Greg in our group chat, despite what people might seem. He's been on fire lately. Greg, how's your Tuesday going so far?
So far, so good. I was hoping for a little more of a, Patrick, a more dramatic introduction. Rick usually plays it up a little more. So I was, wow. But look, you know what we got to do, Patrick, is next time we'll brainstorm some ideas to really spice up the intro a little more. We can come together. We'll get a whiteboard. We'll draw up some ideas. I think we can put together something, you know, suitable to the golf conversations we're going to have for the day.
You should have. Okay. You should have introduced Greg's Dance of Redemption, Patrick.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Come. I mean,
in the best.
I guess it'll be a comeback. But first, let's start off with the match 9. Last night, DJ Khaled, the rest of the gang, there at the Park Golf Course in West Palm Beach. The match 9, presented by Capital One, took place. Rory McIlroy won it, I guess, and a few other golfers were there as well. He kind of dominated the thing. But fellas, what are we doing with the match going on? I mean, has it run its course? Is this just going to keep on going? What's the temperature in the room?
I'll start. I think it's has some good elements, but I think it needs a purpose, you know, and there's some conflicting ideas. You know, there's not a whole lot of alignment that I see with the purpose. But for instance, one of the good things about it is it's for charity. That's great, right? It doesn't have to be a blockbuster type thing that, you know, everybody can't wait to watch. It doesn't have to be an instant classic to be for charity. It can be a nice golf event for charity. And it was that. But there's something that doesn't sit right with me when you have a charity event and you're, you know, talking about all the great things you're doing for kids and you got betting going on, you know, immediately alongside of it. It just seems like an odd combination. You go back to the match one, Tiger and Phil playing for $9 million. That's something you can bet on, right? That makes sense. Those messages align. This is a huge match. That's a huge bet for $9 million, and you can bet on it too. But last night was, we're doing all this great stuff for kids. It's awesome to see what we can do in the community. And, you know, Rory closest to the pin is minus 210. That message just doesn't quite align to me. So again, my overall take on it is there's some good, there's some bad, and there needs to be a, you know, more concrete purpose behind it.
Well, Greg, I guess, sorry, Kyle, I guess it's not where the money comes from. It's just that the money is there, right? Or is that the theme of professional golf right now?
Oh, well done, Mark.
I think what Greg is saying is fair, and I would add to it that I don't know what is your intended audience, I guess, is my question, right? Because it seems like, okay, well, are they trying to get like the kid watching with their mom or their dad? Are they trying to get the sickos like us by bringing in DJ Khaled? Like, that's not doing it for me. Like, it seems like they're trying to do like 25 different things. And personally, I want, and somebody mentioned this on Twitter, like if it was just Ernie, your brother, Mark, I'm just going to start calling him Mark's brother. and Charles, like, be kind of sweet, right? But you've got like 25 people talking the whole time and they're not really talking about golf. I just want you to talk about golf. Like, you know what the best moment that I saw last night was? Rory hitting that cut 5-wood from like 170.
Yeah.
And Max just being flabbergasted by the way that he shaped it. Like, I'm into that. And I think that I don't know. Like, when I tune in to stuff like that, that's what I want to see. And I think that's what a lot of other people want to see also.
I'm feeling you there, Kyle. You know, I'm part of that audience because it's not often I get to sit down and watch golf. And I was up for this, and largely I've been out on the match. I mean, the first one in COVID, I was all in because there was nothing else on TV. And from then on, it's appeared gimmicky in a way, and it's sort of been a bit of a money grab at times. And so I was like, yeah, whatever. And I didn't watch any of them, to be honest with you, but I sat down with an intent to watch last night's one. And in many respects, I enjoyed it because I enjoyed the four personalities. I thought Rory and Max and Lexi and Rose were tremendous. I'm with you on the announcing. I mean, they had all kinds of folks. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you got DJ Khaled pop in there. I mean,
that's your boy.
Yeah, you're right. It's like they are trying with this thing to touch every demographic there is.
Yeah.
On a Monday night. And look, I get it because that's how you justify the money behind this stuff and the money going to charity. But largely, I enjoyed it. But the next one, unless they got like some people that I really want to watch, I'm probably not turning it on again.
One club challenge. The whole thing should be a one club challenge.
That'd be cool. That'd be something that's pretty cool, right? You have a one club challenge the whole way, and you're talking to Rory about why he chose the club that he chose, right? You're talking to him about how he's going to execute a shot that's difficult. And it kind of turns into, Kyle, you've had this idea before, which is a really cool one. You know, it turns into a skills competition.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a unique aspect to the game of golf gets brought out. And I think that could be really powerful. You know, they do, TNT did this really, I thought, a well-produced kind of breakaway segment into Charles Barkley versus DJ Khaled. But what if that breakaway segment was in, you know, a interview with Lexi Thompson, or a, you know, a bunker lesson with Rory McIlroy and Charles Barkley, or, you know, like something that where there's actually some teeth behind it. And they do such a good job with the production aspects. It's just like what they're producing goes nowhere.
Who's asking for that? The content that they're producing.
I don't know.
I'm with you there too, because I remember way back in the day, if you go and watch on YouTube, the old Skins games, you know, there'd be whoever showed up there with a microphone after a skin was won. But yeah, you got golfers mic'd up the entire way. And all of a sudden, after someone makes a putt to win, there's Catherine Tappan with a microphone asking two asinine questions, really. And I was like, no, let's just keep going. You know, let's get another hole in, if you will, as opposed to wasting 45 seconds with two questions that weren't really answered of all the ones I saw.
I think to that point, Mark, Dan Rappaport said this on Twitter, but, you know, this is something that feasibly could be done as a package produced thing. It doesn't have to be live, you know, and I think that it's very different than sport, which does have to be live because you're going to know the outcome and you care about the outcome. This, I don't care about the outcome. So I would watch it. I would actually be more apt to watch it if it was cut down by half or more because of how little time I'd be spending on it, even if I did already know who won, because I don't care who won. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's something that would be perfect for that type of scenario. And then you lose all the dead time, dumb interview question, you know, whatever that, you know, that nobody really wants anyway.
I think your next one, you have the skills challenge like you recommend, and you have four players that are putting their own money in and they're playing for that to go to charity.
Call Philip.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Live versus PGA Tour. Play with part of your pocket money.
That'd be sweet. I mean, if you taped that and packaged it, and like, I mean, Josh just said this in the chat. I was thinking it earlier. You know, like I don't watch a ton of YouTube golf, but I've watched it before. Like it's there are aspects of it that are interesting because it's packaged, because it's fairly short, because the personalities are interesting. You could, I just think that type of product would be a lot better and more palatable for the golf fan than kind of what we're getting.
Hey, Patrick, and then the live golfers can really grow the game because they'll be giving their money back to the game. Cool, huh?
I mean, they were growing it last night as well, right? I mean, we saw Max signing hats with, you know, Panther National on it, some Seminole logos on there. These deprived young children finally getting to golf courses. It's really nice to see. But I'll be honest, I thought it was horrible. I could not get behind it. There are too many cooks in the kitchen when it came to the production side. Like you said there, Mark, I mean, Catherine Tappan on number two asking Lexi Thompson what she learned after three putting one. It's like, yeah, the green speed, obviously. It was just, it is well produced, but it's also overproduced to an extent. So I'm kind of out on it. I think we always talk about how the golfers really need to drive it with their personalities. And Max was great. I think Lexi came across great as well. But you also have, I mean, just DJ Khaled screaming in the camera, just screaming.
Not even about golf.
No. And it's like, all right, the shtick was funny. You beat Charles Barkley in a par three contest. You don't have to bring it up 10 times. I'm sorry.
Patrick, so, DJ Khaled or your boy Bert, what was his name?
Oh, Kreischer. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Oh, God.
Who are you taking?
Man,
you hated Bert Kreischer.
I might have to go with DJ Khaled.
Oh, honestly. My god.
that's rock hard place me right yeah, there.
Exactly.
That is tough. Okay, we can I think that's enough match talk. I can't wait for number 10. We'll be tuning in for that one. Let's get on to probably the news of the day. One,
yeah.
Mr. Taylor Gooch, fellow Oklahoma State Cowboy, as our guy.
And the
border.
Don't do this. Don't do
well out there in Stillwater.
Josh, bring up the quote from Mr. Gooch today. He was talking to a Golf Digest Australia. Taylor said, quote, "If Rory McIlroy goes and completes his career Grand Slam without some of the best players in the world, there's just going to be an asterisk. It's just the reality. I think everybody wins whenever the majors figure out a way to get the best players in the world there." End quote. Kyle, given your proximity to Mr. Gooch, I'll give you the floor first. He's been, like you said, a take Smith these past couple years. This one, throw it up on the resume as well. One of his best works, potentially Mona Lisa, so to speak. I guess when you see this quote, when you first heard it, what was your instant reaction?
Well, first of all, the Live League is kind of the Oklahoma State professional league.
It kind of is. Mm-hmm. Kind of is.
With Chuck Howell, Matthew Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Gooch, Uline? Peter Uline. I mean, there's like five or Chikara. Mm-hmm. There's like five or six guys that went to Oklahoma State. Yeah, I mean, listen, like it's not a good look. I'm actually going to zag a little bit on this, Patrick. Probably go in a different direction. I think that in a lot of ways, Taylor Gooch is correct. Like I think what he's saying has some merit, but it's like, man, presented in a worse way, right? Presented in like the worst way you feasibly can by like calling out a future Rory Slam because, I mean, essentially just because you're not there. I mean, what other meaningful live golfers are not in the Masters? It's like Gooch and Varner. I don't know. I mean, Neiman's there now. So you've got all these live guys that are there. So you're basically personally asterisking Rory's future slam, which is just an insane like corner to be on, right? Like that's just an insane position. But I think like, you know, it's interesting. If you don't want to use the OWGR, if you're Taylor Gooch, like what do you want to use? Okay. Do you want to use Data Golf? Well, there's a bunch of guys in the Data Golf top 50 or top 60. That are not in the Masters that are on the PGA Tour, right? Taylor Gooch is 40th in Data Golf. He's a very good golfer, but it's not as if like the world is necessarily out to get you, right? I just think it just is such this like, like mentality of like, oh, you know, the world's out to get us. Like you haven't been relevant in mate. Like there's other ways to play your way into major change. Joaquin Neiman went out and did it on the DP World Tour in December, right? Mm-hmm. He went out and won the Australian Open. Like there's paths to do that. But I do think like, I think at the end of the day, like I actually have some sympathy for where Gooch is coming from, even if the presentation was horrific, because I think that the majors do need to sort of say to themselves like, hey, how can we kind of be above the fray with the PGA Tour live stuff and still have the best fields possible, which, you know, like the fields have never been perfect, right? Dating back for the last 100 years, you've never had like a perfect field. There's always going to be somebody that's left out. But I do sort of sympathize with where he's coming from, even though I don't agree at all with the statement.
I hear you, Kyle. And I just want to point out a couple of things. First off, I've talked with a couple of Masters champions who are not very happy at all that Neiman got an invitation, but that's just by the by. The Masters already doing that with the invitation that they sent to Waco Neiman. But as it pertains to Taylor over here, I mean, this is coming from a guy that compared a live golf event when it was at its infancy to the Ryder Cup. And he's like, the vibe's the same. So you got to know, hold on, we're somewhat removed from reality over here.
Yeah.
And then the way I see it, I'm like, look, you have knowledge and you have wisdom. Knowledge is what you know Wisdom is knowing when to say it and when not to say it. And if you've got a microphone in front of you, I understand the clickbait of it. I understand the fact that you're trying to make a statement and stuff, but just be wise in this situation and don't go and say it in a place where it's going to come out. Because the worst thing that's going to happen now is if Rory does win the Masters, then all of a sudden people are going to probably take on Taylor Gooch. So I don't think he's doing himself any favors whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things, Mark, that you have to understand your stature and the power that you do or don't have. Like if Brooks Koepka went out and said, like took this position, I think it would be heard as like a legitimate thing because he's a five-time major champion. Taylor Gooch doesn't have a top 12 in a major, right? And so like take reasonable positions based on the amount of power that you've earned. I mean, yeah, major champions should have power, and Taylor Gooch doesn't have a top 10 in a major. And I just think that that's it's something that he needs to consider before saying stuff like that.
Think of it before you open your mouth. Golly,
I made a choice, and now I want you to change your rules based on my choice. Right. It doesn't make any sense. The major championships have had rules in place for hundreds of years. And there's not really anywhere that says hey, we're going to do everything we can to get the best players in this field. Right. It becomes arbitrary at some point. If Taylor Gooch didn't leave to go play LIV, but left to go play basketball, would he still be demanding a spot in the majors? Because he's playing basketball now, but he's still a great golfer. Like you're not doing anything to meet up to the qualifications that they have. So until you do that, don't ask them to change because of a decision that you made. That doesn't make any sense. And then the other thing is on the asterisk, there's one time I remember where asterisks have been brought up. And it's when Tiger Woods was out and Patrick Harrington was winning majors. And you think about all the other situations where one guy, that's really what we're talking about here. One guy is left out of a major. And in the past, it's been due to injury. Dustin Johnson in 2017. Does Sergio Garcia get an asterisk because DJ fell down the stairs? No, that was never brought up. Rory McIlroy in 2015 misses the Open at St. Andrews. Does Zach Johnson have an asterisk for winning that Masters because Rory hurt himself playing soccer? No, it's never brought up. It's been brought up one time when a guy who has won 15 majors now and won at a 30% clip through his career missed a couple of majors. He had also won, I think, like 6 of 7 starts that year. So it's like a reasonable thing to bring up. And still the consensus is, no, there's not an asterisk. So this is wrong on so many levels.
I think I agree with the asterisk thing. I thought you were going to go in a completely different direction and go towards Mark's one and done record. not the prior major championships.
Hey, I won that league last year. I won because, that league.
When Greg goes, the only time an asterisk has been brought up, I was like, oh, he's going for it.
He's going to one and done.
I will say I do agree with Kyle from the perspective of Gooch is kind of a gunslinger when it comes to what's on his mind. And for us who get to talk about the game, get to analyze and write about it, I love it. It's awesome. I wish more people were like it. Could he have come across a different way? Sure, absolutely. But it's fine in my book. And as for the major championship qualification, you got to remember, this is a guy who was in the U.S. Open last year at first. They changed the qualification, and he said, I'm not going through local. Sorry, guys. Sergio Garcia did it, and he said, I'm too good for it. I don't want to do it. And he missed the U.S. Open last year. So there's an asterisk on Wyndham Clark's victory as well. And then finally, back to the Joaquin Niemann point of him qualifying, you got Dean Burmeister, who also qualified for the Open. David Puge just qualified for the Open with a win on the Asian Tour, I believe, as well. So there are avenues for these guys to get in, and these LIV golfers, because they are good enough, have been able to. And I think one final point, it's 2024, this major championship season, 2019 Masters winner, five-year exemption, Patrick Reed, it's coming up. And I'm just, you know, maybe he wins one this year, maybe he doesn't, but in 2025, to Kyle's point about Brooks, if Patrick Reed was out of major championships, given the, you know, perspective, given what he has done on the major championship stage, it is far different than someone like Taylor Gooch missing a major championship.
Well, that's a point that I was gonna, I think it's, he was 18, Tiger was 19, but your point remains, like it ends in 25. And I think that's what I was going to bring up, is like, this doesn't seem like that big of a deal right now, because you're like, whatever, Taylor Gooch, like, you're like, Rory winning the Masters doesn't, I mean, it's laughable, like Greg said, that there would be an asterisk next to it. But I do think that there is some concern if the LIV PGA Tour thing doesn't get resolved, that like, okay, what about when your DJs or your Brysons or people like that start falling out of majors, and there's not really like that is when it becomes more of a like a real concern. And that's where I look at the majors, and I'm like, you guys don't even need the OWGR. Like, use the Data Golf, use whatever system that you want to kind of be above the fray. I mean, I think Taylor Gooch is one of the 50 best players in the world. And whether that means he should get an invite to the Masters, I don't run the Masters. I don't run the PGA Championship. Like, they can invite who they want. And I trust that all those organizations are incentivized to have the best possible field, right? Or to have the best possible tournament. That's why they extended an invite to Joaquin Niemann. Like, I mean, this literally just happened with a LIV golfer. So, yeah, I have some concern about the OWGR as a determiner of like who actually the best players in the world are, and I think that starts to, more holes in that will be revealed as time goes on.
Just one more thing, Patrick. If you've been paying attention, you would have heard Greg Norman doubling down on social media about the world ranking points. And it seems like the narrative's coming out. And you know, remember when LIV began, we saw all and sundry tweeting and coming out whenever they had a microphone in front of their face, talking about how they were growing the game and they were doing this for golf, and it's not about the money, and the official world golf ranking is a thing of the devil. And it almost seems to me now that they've got Rahm that there's a renewed push. And now they're pulling off the Anthony Kim coup. I mean, this is such a big one. Now they're all after the media again, and they're trying to make headlines. And it just appears to me that Taylor Gooch is a real company guy. So obviously he's getting a really nice deal from Greg and the PIF and all that sort of thing. And he's just playing ball because he kind of has to. Because remember, we've even seen John Rahm in his Letterman jacket going on all the shows describing why he's done this stuff. So I feel like this is company policy. And Taylor Gooch, yes, he's a gunslinger, but he's just towing the party line right now.
All right. I mean, from one company man to another, you got to respect it to a certain extent. We'll continue this conversation after a quick word from one of our partners.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back from one gunslinger to another. AK is allegedly back. There hasn't been a full announcement. He's there in Jeddah. LIV Golf has not named him in any of their posts. They haven't formally announced it. They haven't shown his face. But the Dance of Redemption is set to take place this week in the beautiful King Abdullah Economic City.
We got some images.
Stock images. This is pretty much what you need to see. The Spark Notes.
This looks insane.
Yes. This is pretty much the LIV Golf hype video. They're missing a few key pictures here of the egg, of the rainstorm. I believe there were two kangaroos potentially fighting in one of the scenes.
Let me describe what we're seeing for the listener now. We have volcanoes spewing out of a volcano, lava and such. Then there's a tree, a remote-looking tree in the desert with clouds, dramatic clouds behind there, and it's on fire. Then we have some Spartan-looking gladiator dude standing on top of a fortress, but you only see the shadow. And then you see AK's sort of silhouette at the top of the backswing. Then there's a silhouette of somebody. Maybe it's Greg. And then there's one giant eyeball. Now, if this was Anthony doesn't have greenish blue eyes. I know that for certain. So I'm not sure why the eyeball is in there.
I mean, I don't know why any of this is in here. I don't know why the video was made. I mean, this is just so emblematic of what LIV is, right? Which is just this eternal hype machine with, like, you know, very compared to what the hype is, very little bite. And I think it's just such a perfect landing spot for somebody who was probably, he was a great personality, and I think that golf needs characters like him. But as a player, he's always been sort of mythologized, right? Like, where we like who we remember is not like really what he was as, like, at least consistently as a player. His highs were high. I mean, he was, like, at times really, really good, but he was not Scottie Scheffler. Certainly he wasn't even like a Xander or a Morikawa.
He's not Colin Morikawa, who's at a three on the same age.
And so I think this is just so, like, perfect for LIV because it's sort of the difference between, like, what we think we are and what we actually are. And that's sort of what their league represents.
The eye might be Illuminati nod potentially there, Mark. Okay. I'm not too sure, but yeah, there's a lot, the whiteboarding that had to go on in that creative room to be a fly on the wall. Let me tell you,
I would love to see it, Patrick. I couldn't agree. Like, how, what do we want to be? Like, we were talking about this with the match. What's the purpose? What's the audience we're going after? Like, this looks to me like a drill, something that you learn in maybe kindergarten, when you put this picture up here, it looks like a I'm not a robot test. You know, which one of these things is not like the other? Oh, well, the golfer in the lower left, you know, you got like a warrior, you got an eyeball, you got another random shadow, and a couple pictures of fire.
It's an hour times game.
Yeah. You got to click all the ones that have eyeballs in them. So the bottom three and the top right all have eyeballs in them, ostensibly.
But I don't understand it. Josh said in the chat, that it was romanticized. He used that word, which I think is a great word to describe Anthony Kim. And this is like a tour that's romanticizing or attempting to romanticize itself.
I think it sorry, Patrick, I just think it should be said for posterity's sake that I'm not sure if it's the insurance that he's getting or the payout, the retirement. Anthony Kim would give up whatever that pretty large amount was if he came back to the PGA Tour. So this is a real calculated decision here too, because he's like, okay, I can go over to LIV and I'm getting whatever I'm getting and I'm still padding my retirement over here. I'm not so sure what the provisions are in the tour's bylaws for that. So I'm keen to see how this whole thing shakes out, because I'm sure there'll be something said about it in the next few days, if indeed he does play.
It is all very interesting. You know, what is his contract length going to be? He's going to be an individual wild card, right? He's two of the individuals, him and Hudson Swafford this week. Does he eventually join a team? I guess when there's another expansion, maybe Legion 14, I'm not too sure. And you know, obviously how is he going to play? I was there as a young buck at his win at Congressional. It was one of the first golf tournaments I attended. So maybe there is some nostalgia attached to him, but I am excited to see him play. I don't get why they rolled him out in Jeddah. Was it to protect him from eyeballs? I don't know. Was it
maybe that's what the eyeball is?
Maybe was it for him to shake hands and kiss babies there? You know, meet some of the stakeholders. I don't know, but I would have rolled him out in Las Vegas, or probably still negotiating the contract, or I would have rolled him out, you know, playing with the pro-am with Donald Trump and Doral. And that would have made an awfully lot more noise than what's happening this week.
What if I would have told you like 6 years ago, Patrick, that Anthony Kim would return in King Abdullah Economic City to a lava video? What would you, I mean, what would you even have thought?
He transitioned to like music. He's a rapper now or something.
Right. Or yeah, like I don't even, it's such an insane scenario that we're all looking at and just kind of like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what this kind of what it is, because it's become very normalized.
It has. It's just a weird time in general. All right. We got to get to the Cognizant Classic in Florida, Palm Beach, the Bear Trap, the Honda Classic. No, the Classic at Palm Beaches. No, the Cognizant Classic. Really good field relative to past years. It was beholden to some scheduling changes the past couple of years, and the field was reflective of that. But we got world number two, Rory McIlroy, in the field, fresh off his historic victory at Match 9 with an asterisk next to it, obviously. Number 9, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tom Kim, Cameron Young Cameron, Sepp Straka, Matthew Pavon, the FedEx Cup leader who forgoed Tiger's event for the Honda Classic, the cojones on him, Chris Kirk and Russell Henley. Really nice field, transitioning from Bumpy Poana on to Bermuda. The Southeast guys will love it. Mark, what are kind of your initial takeaways, your knee-jerk reaction when we got, you know, a few bigger names than usual there at PGA National?
Well, good for PGA National, because it's the kind of place where the golf course oftentimes is the star. And it's always kind of the redheaded stepchild when you have the Florida Swing, when you go to Bay Hill, which is the King's place, and then, of course, the Players. And, you know, Valspar is sneaky, sort of like low-key, ascended up in the rankings because of the quality of the golf course. So to have 8 or 9 of the top 30, I think, is awesome. And then just from a selfish standpoint, being on the call for PGA Tour Live is going to be exciting. And I got my assignment from my producer earlier today, and it's just a quick text that goes, Rory, Kirk, Knapp. And I smiled when I saw it, because look, watching Rory for 18 holes is fun. Chris Kirk just goes about the game well, and it's the kind of golf course that really suits the way he plays. And then Jake Knapp, who's fresh off a win, he's turned heads already. I'm keen to see how he buttons things down or kind of battens the hatches a bit at a place like the Champion Course, because you can't just open up and smash driver there everywhere. So it's going to be a fun day. And I'll tell you what, Thursday morning, first thing, having those guys out there, what a way to sort of kick off the Florida Swing.
Mark, this is a golf course that typically can kick some teeth in. Is there like a love-hate relationship from players with PGA National, you think?
Well, a lot of folks have respect for it. Everyone I've spoken to, you talk about it, and the first word out of their mouths is difficult or tough or demanding, because it just is. I mean, you got to play par fours well there, and there's no real freebies. And it's the kind of thing where the rough isn't just disastrous. It's just enough of that Bermuda stuff. It's about an inch and a half, maybe two, a little wispy at times and dry. And then you have a ball coming out of that stuff to some of those targets, and you got no chance to stop the ball on the greens. Then you add to that this sort of precocious wind that's going on, that's in and out and gusty at times. And then you have targets that look like thimbles down there, even if you're in the fairway. So it's a mental, it's an emotional test, and it's going to test you from tee to green. So I don't know if it's love or hate. There's a whole lot of respect, though, I would say.
Interesting. And Greg, world number two, Rory McIlroy returns, first time since 2018, start of a very busy stretch, playing the next 3 weeks, going to play in Texas as well before the Masters. I mean, after a kind of, there's some good golf and some bad golf there for Rory on the West Coast. I mean, what are the expectations? It seems like he should win every time he tees it up, but it's all probably one eye on Augusta, right?
You know, this is, he is head and shoulders above the rest in this field. So he is a deserving favorite, but this is this is the kind of golf course, Mark alluded to this, where, you know, stars are dangerous, right? This cut can be missed very easily, because danger lurks around every corner. And when you look at what Rory McIlroy has done so far this year, you think about what he did at Spyglass Hill in the first round. He was 6 under, leading the tournament, makes a double bogey, and then takes a penalty because of, you know, one errant shot. And all of a sudden there's a big number and he's out of the tournament. He makes a big number, a couple big numbers in that closing stretch at the Genesis in the first round. You think to what he did in Dubai and made a couple of, you know, rather large mistakes, costly mistakes, even though he won one of those tournaments. And so Rory McIlroy this year in 2024 has struggled with big numbers, and this golf course more than any other that we've played so far, and maybe more than any other that we'll play all year, offers the opportunity for big numbers. So I have my concerns about Rory McIlroy, but at the same time, I certainly understand why he's the favorite, and I wouldn't be surprised if he won. He's just going to have to clean up some things in his game in order to get that done.
Kyle, is there anything Rory can do this week that'll change your opinion come the second week of April for the Masters?
Not really. I mean, the Masters is just so separate, such a separate thing for him. I think it hadn't been a great start to the PGA Tour year. And I think if you look at, I mean, Greg's right. It's been like three holes early that just kind of, he played his way out of two tournaments on those three holes, or maybe two holes, in the first round at Pebble, and then again at Riv. So I don't know. I think in the same way that Tony Finau had one bad hole in the first round in Mexico and bounced all the way back to a top, whatever he was, top 12, top 14. I sort of feel the same way about Rory, that the form is very good, and I would expect him to top 10. I think it's concerning if he again finishes outside like the top 40 or whatever. I think that's a little bit concerning, almost more so for the Players Championship than the Masters, because again, I think the Masters is such a separate thing for him.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And we will see coming up if one Mr. Rory McIlroy is on any of our best bets or maybe even one and done cards. But first, let's take a break and hear a word from one of our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are back. Josh, pull up the betting cards from us four. Josh gives us $50 for a matchup, $30 for a finishing position, and $10 for a couple outrights as well. Greg, we'll start with you. You're going with an even money darling. Ooh, and so someone else. So talk about your matchup.
Yeah, how about that? Mark, wise choice. I have Steven Yeager over Corey Connors this week. I'm a big fan of Steven Yeager. This isn't the last time he'll show up on my card. A little foreshadowing there. I love what he's done with his game. He's made some real significant improvements and throughout last year showed tremendous consistency. He's made 22 cuts in a row. He has clearly control over his golf ball, and he's starting to show us ceiling capability. Now, yes, if I were to look at this yesterday before doing the DFS episode with Rick, I would have been concerned about Corey Connors because I like his game here. But Rick brought up some really interesting things about his short game, and I do believe this golf course requires a complete game, and Corey's game right now is not that. So that's concerning for me, and it was enough to lead me to believe that Steven Yeager will beat Corey Connors this week.
Mark, you got anything to add on top since you guys are riding together on this one?
What he said. I'm on board.
Beautiful. KP, you are going against, Cat, who made his name first heard at this tournament a season ago. What is your matchup?
Yeah, I've got Tom Kim over Eric Cole. Eric Cole's dropped off a little bit since the very start of the year.
Dropped off what?
Well, let's pull up his finishes.
Okay. Do you have him?
But he finished top 15 at both Hawaii events, T21 at the American Express, missed the cut at Farmers. T14 at Pebble, T49 at Phoenix, and then T10 at Genesis. So it bounced back at Genesis a little bit, but he just hasn't been as consistent as he was like throughout the fall and into the beginning of the year. And I like the way that Tom Kim's game is trending in the right direction. He was good at Phoenix. He's been good over the last several weeks. And I like that it's a plus money matchup over Eric Cole.
And I'm going with, Kyle went with young Tom Kim. I'm picking on young Cameron. I'm going Russ Bus Henley, even money over Cameron Young. Former champ, accurate off the tee, fantastic tee to green. Southeast boy, Cam Young, show me something. Like, come on, brother. It just hasn't happened yet. So that is Russell Henley plus 100 over Cam Young for me. Tom Kim plus 105 over Eric Cole for KP. And Yeager over Connors, even money for both Mark and Greg. Finishing positions, I'm going with one of Mark's boys, Seabez. He's been playing fantastic golf this year, has already collected a winner's check. I think he might, even collect a second one this week, but I'm going to be conservative, top 30 at plus 150. And KP, you're going with a guy I'm quite fond of as well.
Yeah, your boy Russ. He's been really good recently, but also really good at this course. If you look at course history, he's got a ton of good finishes here. So I really like both history and current form for Russ Henley.
That is top 20 plus 130 for Kyle. And Mark, this guy's been poking his head a couple weeks in a row now. Who do you got?
I'm kind of going with Rick. Gaiman's been talking about Maverick McNealy a lot, and Rick has been fairly good at this stuff. So I saw him for a top 40 at plus 105. Because look, open disclosure, I saw CBears there at a top 30 for plus 150, and I'm like, that's enterprising. But Maverick McNealy inside the top 40, and you're getting positive money? I was like, sign me up. I'm there.
Marcus signed up for Mav top 40. And Greg, you're picking on a guy who I believe it was last year was shirtless around this golf course, playing in the mud a little bit, maybe once or twice. Who's your pick?
En route to a T49 finish. My pick is Akshay Bhatia, top 40, plus 105. I love Akshay's game. And I'm looking at all, I just wanted to get him on the board, looking at his pricing and where he sits in the odds board in general, where he sits in DraftKings prices. I feel like there's just no respect for him. Now, the one mistake I probably made is going top 40. I probably should have gone top 20 with Akshay, because lately it's been miscut or top 15 finish. So it's not necessarily a safe guide like I would with typically go with for a top 40, but I like Akshay Bhatia. When there's palm trees around, there's plenty of them here. Love his game. Love him for a top 40.
Yes, the old palm tree correlation play. I've had it in my model as well throughout the years. It's a nice nice play. I endorse it. And let's get into the outrights. Let's start off, Greg. Let's kick it back to you since I like one of your picks. Who you got winning the Cognizant Classic this
week? I got a JT Poston. You want to hear both?
Yeah.
The other one you really like is Cebes, who you got in the top 30. I typically wouldn't pick Bezuidenhout to win, but the way this year has gone on the PGA Tour, it's been just some guys you wouldn't expect to win. And I look at his game, and he's made a huge improvement with his iron play. He's been finishing inside the top 30 consistently, and it feels like he's ready to pop off and win. And on a golf course like this, the one weakness in his game has been really his distance, and I don't think that'll be penalized here. So his style, I think, can work. And when it comes to JT Poston, he's been great in every area. He's accurate off the tee, he's accurate with iron play approaches, and his short game is very underrated. He's ninth on tour this year in strokes gained around the green. He's putting very well. And it feels like JT Poston has been due since the 3M Open last year. And this could be the week when he crosses the finish line.
Yes. Who could forget that 72nd hole? Hopefully there's not a redo or something similar happened for Poston on 18 this time around. Mark, you got a couple guys who have come close here in the past but haven't gotten across the finish line. Who are your picks to win?
Yeah, I do. I'm kind of inside golf a little bit with this. Both Eric Cole and Ben Arndt live in Florida. They're both really nice strikers of the golf ball. Both draw the golf ball, and I feel like this golf course sort of loves a draw because those closing stretch of holes, the prevailing wind comes in and off the left. When you've got water down the right, it's nice to be able to hold a draw up against that sort of thing. And so with Eric Cole's record and the way he's been playing, I actually talked to him earlier this week, and he sounds pretty confident, is really happy with where things are. And then Ben Arndt, who's had a couple top fives around this place. I'm sort of with Greg. I feel like someone's going to turn heads. There's going to be one of those sorts of events that'll be exciting, but it won't be some blue chip that wins. So I feel like one of those two is probably not a bad bet.
Ben Arndt, very popular in the gambling community this week, Mark. So a sharp play on your end. And Kyle, Mr. Worldwide, putting the question, is golf played around the world? Answering it. He's got a pick in King Abdullah Economic City and in West Palm Beach. Who you got this week, KP?
Yeah, I've got Joaquin Niemann in King Abdullah, 11-1. I don't know if he's the favorite, but he's up there. Rick Gaiman actually talked me into this. His Rick Run Good newsletter was talking up Niemann specifically at that course, and obviously he's been really good over the last couple months. Really, I'm making a pick here and PGA Tour because I want to go 4-for-4. It's so difficult to go 4-for-4 on this board, and I've got Cashmere Keith at the Honda. He's got a win and a T9 in his last four starts there. He's playing great golf. He's really been striking it well. Good approach play, and like Greg and Mark talked about earlier, it's a ball striker's course. It's a really difficult course, and he's had a lot of success there.
Yep, and he edged out Brooks Koepka, Ricky Fowler, and his win in 2019. Brooks actually going for the three-peat in Jeddah this week, so he's a name Joaquin will have to skirt past. I'm going with Corey Connors. I know the short game concerns are there. I'm hoping the switch from West Coast to East Coast can kind of alleviate some of that stress. He's striking the ball great. And then the septic tank himself, former champion, Sepp Straka, 45-1. There's just something about Georgia Bulldogs around this place. The results have been great so far this year, but he's striking the ball well. And I think he's going to get it going this week again.
Tell the truth. You just picked Sepp because you wanted to get septic tank into the
I love Sepp Straka. Right. I love Sepp Straka. Are you kidding me? If every time, anytime you can give me an Austrian-born Georgia Bulldog who lives in Alabama, who loves Diet Coke in the Southeast United States, I will be betting him. So
still sounds like someone bet you that you couldn't get the word septic tank into the show.
Sepp's going to do it. This isn't a Jimmy Fallon bit, Mark. Come on. All right. We got more from producer Josh. He gives us each $50 more to bet on anything we want. The auditing has been McKenzie-like this season. There's been some, I guess you could say asterisks next to some of these totals. We'll get going. I think, Mark, let's kick it off with you because I'm just now looking and we'll blame the auditing on for this record, but let's get you off the schneid here.
Still with a goose egg, no wins in five attempts. And I'm going, I was wanting to get Maverick McNealy top 40. But then I saw Ben Silverman down there, who's Canadian, who lives in the southeast of Florida there. He went to Florida Atlantic University. He's been playing pretty well lately, playing with a lot of emotion because he was on the tour, then off the tour, now back on the tour. And there's a few good finishes lately. So I feel like, hey, almost a home game for Silverman. Been playing well, comfortable in the environment. Top 40 plus 140. Let's get it. This is going to be the week, Patrick. It's going to be the week.
I am rooting for you. I'm just rooting for you. That's all I can really say. Greg, you're going with Mr. Consistency, who might be flashing a lot of upside lately. Who you got?
Yeah, Steven Yeager, top 20. I talked about him a little bit in the matchup. I love what he's done so far with his game this year. It really goes back all the way to last year. This is my only best bet so far of the year has been Steven Yeager, top 20. And I beat Mark to the first win starting last week. So I'm going to roll it right back again. Plus 190. It's like there's just no respect. He's a top 20 machine. So I love it this week. Lock it up.
Wow. Undefeated, Greg. Both you and Mark have perfect records in varying ways. Kyle's split down the middle, 4-4, but a nice 22% ROI. Dollar sign KP is cashing so far in 2024. KP, who you got this week?
I've got JT Poston. I think, was it Greg that you had him earlier?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he's been just awesome this year. The one time I think I had him for something at Phoenix, which I think is the only miscut he's had, but he bounced back with a T10 at Riv a couple weeks ago. And yeah, he's been tremendous so far this year. So I like him to top 20 at plus 150.
I like it. He leads this field in total strokes gained over the last half year, I believe. So all signs point to a big result coming soon. I'm going with the positivity parlay once again. It's been kicking my ass. This is the UGA Tour / winners only edition. Russell Henley, Keith Mitchell, Sepp Straka, Chris Kirk, all to make the cut 3-1. If it happens, I will be back in the black where I belong.
That's just a lot of guys.
I know.
At PGA National.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like all those guys this week, but it's
just one hole and your week is ruined.
It feels like it should be more like 5-1.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the confidence you guys have in me this week.
I'm pulling for you just because.
Oh, the water ball on 18 when I need a birdie from Sepp Straka on the 36th hole to make the cut, and he just blows it right with a second. It's going to be glorious. I can't
at least
wait.
He'll go for it.
Exactly. And I mean, we got a cut this week, so we gotta count our blessings, right? It's gonna be great on Friday. I'm happy to do it for entertainment. My wallet, not so much. That is JT Poston, top 20, plus 150 for KP. Mark's got the Canadian Ben Silverman from FAU, top 40, plus 140. And Greg is riding the Jägerbomb this week, top 20, plus 190. Josh, pull up the one and done. Let's see who we have selected this week.
Drum roll.
Ooh, okay. Okay, just one double up. One double. We got these are the updated ones on the right. Okay, Boomer still leading at 5 point. We'll give them 5.6. Pat Sullivan, Big Boy, and Mike M rounding out the top five. We're pretty far away from the top five, fellas, and me in particular. So I got weird this week. I'm going with Christian Bezuidenhout to win this week for my one and done. I thought about a few other names that are on this list, but I kind of outthunk myself, I guess, outthought myself. I don't know. So I'm going with C-Bez. I'm at 950. Mark, who you got? I'm right on your tail. You can see me in the rear view. I'm coming for you.
Well, I was looking up at you for about 5 weeks, so it's good to be the other way around. There was no thinking on my behalf. I was planning for this, and then my decision was galvanized when I spoke with him on Monday. Eric Cole. Home game, he seems confident. He loves the golf course, Nova Southeastern Way. Went to college, played here. It was almost their home course, basically. And so there's a level of comfort there, and the game is solid enough. And, you know, he puts these greens beautifully. So Eric Cole for me.
It's a smart pick. I'm surprised you're the only one doing it. Greg, you are doubled up with Rick, who is 300,000 ahead of you. So, you know, best case scenario, you're in second at the end of the week. But who tell the listeners who you got.
Yeah, it's not going to change. I don't know if it would have changed my pick anyway. This is just simply a gut feeling on JT Poston. Kyle mentioned how well he's been playing. It's 5 of 6 top 20 finishes. It feels like he's due for a win, due to hold the trophy. I'm not going to miss out on it. I'm going JT Poston.
I like it. I think I picked him at this tournament last year, so you should be in the clear. Kyle, you are kind of right there in the middle, 1.7 million. A win this week could do wonders for you. Who you got?
Yeah, I got Big Russ. I thought more of you guys would pick him. I do think a lot of our pool will pick him. By the way, producer Josh is 174th in the pool out of about 1,000. So he's leading the way. Patrick, I think, is 650th. So we're kind of, yeah, we're kind of making up the middle class there of the pool. But yeah, I'm excited to have Russ Henley this week. He's, like you guys talked about, great at PGA National, and I'm the only one that has him, which is always good.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that pick right now. Rick also went with JT Poston. He's at 1.8. Rick never rounds up, so I'm not going to round up for him. And producer Josh leading the way for us, the only one in the 2 million club. He's going with the defending champion, Chris Kirk, lone wolfing it at the top. We'll see if he can stay atop. So that is Chris Kirk for Josh, JT Poston for Rick and Greg. KP's got Russ Henley. Mark, the Coltrane, Eric Cole, and I've got Christian Bezuidenhout. Gentlemen, I've got one final question for you all. Shane Lowry is plus 190 to finish inside the top 20 at the Cognizant Classic. Anthony Kim is plus 190 to finish inside the top 20 at LIV Golf Jeddah. Which one would you rather have?
Lowry.
How many guys are playing in Jeddah?
54.
So it's going to basically top off of the field.
Mm-hmm. Lowry.
This is tough for me. Lowry.
I think Lowry's the correct play. I mean, 12 years is
forever.
Pretty long. It's pretty long.
I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like an 18-man field, you know?
Sure. Yeah, like the hero.
You're exactly.
The hero getting world ranking points. Bad look. But yeah, I mean, 12 months is a long time, Patrick. If you think about guys like even Zalatoris, right? It's 8 months.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 12 years ago, were there even like cell phones? I don't even know, right?
But it's the redemption song. I mean, it's the return of the Messiah, isn't it?
Well, what is dance? The redemption dance.
That was so weird.
All right, that's there. It is. There it is. I'm not a robot. That might be all time, Greg. We'll wrap it up. No one has anything else.
Yeah, I tell you, I do. Thursday morning, I see the leader in our little group, and the one and done has Chris Kirk. He's in my group. I'm going to wear my black shirt, not my black hat, and I'm going to bring my best black widow out there to get Chris Kirk off his game so he misses it. Yeah. And then we'll be all right. So you guys are welcome.
Man, Josh, talking about asterisk again, Mark. Remember the Wyndham Championship, Russell Henley out of the rain delay, the screenshot Rick took of you shaking his hand?
I forgot about that. But yeah.
You hexed him. You hexed him for us. But all is fair. All is fair in one and done.
Always.
I appreciate the gamesmanship. All right. That is all we got for you guys today. For Kyle Porter, you can find him at Kyle Porter CBS. For Greg Ducharme, you can find him at The Real GFD. For Mark Immelman, you can find him on PGA Tour Live on the Mark Podcast and Mark_Immelman. I'm Patrick McDonald. This was your First Cut Podcast, your Cognizant Class Preview, your Taylor Gooch reaction show. We'll be catching you guys next time.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.